Grab hold of God's purpose for why we're here next on A Daily Walk.
God, why did you put my office right next to this lady? You know, she drives me crazy. Maybe because he wants you to perceive that they need Christ. Why do I have these neighbors? I wish they would cut their trees. They don't, it's leaning on my house. I told them they won't do it. It's ridiculous. Why, Lord? Perhaps so that you could tell them about the tree of Calvary. I mean, that's why God put you there. We need to have a fresh perspective on why we are here. We're not here just so we can isolate. We're here to infiltrate.
We're iron. We'll walk by faith. Well, even when I cannot see, we'll be cursed.
Thanks for being with us as we present A Daily Walk. In Acts 10, we run across Peter's third sermon. Peter just simply presented the gospel message as is, simple enough for a third grader to understand, but powerful to reach those who were listening that day. It's a reminder that the gospel is for all of us in every nation. And this also goes to show you what God can do when we simply point the way to salvation and leave the results to him. Let's join Pastor John Randall now as he spotlights Acts 10, verses 17 through 48.
Keep in mind, 10 years since the church had started, the ministry of the Apostle Peter had begun 10 years ago. And although he had taken the gospel in different directions, Peter still had to learn some things. 10 years of serving the Lord, he had to be taken aside, and the Lord had to show him specifically that there's more to the ministry than what you've experienced up to this point. There's more that I want you to see. There's more of my heart, the Lord would say to Peter, that you don't yet understand. There's a part of you that isn't conformed to my image yet, and this is what I want to show you. And so he took him aside to the home of this centurion to make him see that everybody needs the gospel. And I realized if Peter, after 10 years, still had stuff to learn, the apostle Peter, don't you know that we have stuff we still need to learn as we walk with the Lord? And there are times that God will take us aside and show us things that maybe we did not see before. And I can use myself as a personal example. This last week, I was on vacation with my family. We were staying down near the beach. And while we were there, I was amazed at how many foreigners were there. Foreigners meaning people from other countries. I was just shocked. And primarily, Middle Eastern foreigners. And you can tell them by the clothes that they wear, the coverings, and you know, at the beach, it's very uncommon to see that. But there was tons of them. And, you know, as we were sitting there, I was watching my daughter play in the water and just enjoying the day. And, you know, when you're foreign, you don't, there's certain things you don't understand. One of the things you don't understand is beach etiquette. You don't know. You're foreign. You don't understand. So I'm sitting there watching you come and sit right in front of me with your entire family so I can't see my daughter. So I was just kind of like, man, foreigners, where are they coming from? They're everywhere. You know, that was my initial reaction. And then as the week progressed, I was looking at a family that came up and sat near us, and the two ladies, the wife and the daughter, had all the covering on, and the man just sat there and fully, you know, all no short, just fully clothed, just jeans, t-shirt. I mean, just it was just so interesting to watch them. And I must tell you, in light of all that's been going on around the world at the present time, my heart was not, you know, I should probably go share Jesus with those people. My heart was, I need to protect my family. Because if they believe what the news has put on says that they believe, and if that's their heart, if that's their desire, I have to be protective. Listen, this is a really important point, so just pause for a minute. It was a revelation. But I'm sitting there, and I realize I was more protective. I wasn't necessarily interested in their salvation. All I cared about was the protection of my family. And the Lord began to minister to my heart. It's as if he took me aside to speak to me. And if you look beyond the outward appearance, if you look beyond all of that, what does Jesus see? Jesus sees the soul of a person. Jesus sees a life that he came and died for, that he shed his blood for, that he longs to see in heaven to be saved. And I thought to myself, you know, if those people were back in their own country, they would not have the opportunity to hear the gospel. They would hear, leave, convert, or die. But for some reason, God brought them here in a free country so that perhaps there would be believers who would have a heart enough to share the love of Jesus with them. At that moment, I did not get up and go speak with them. I was with my family. I was playing with my kids. But I'll tell you this, the Lord dealt with my heart and began to say to me, like he said to Peter, don't you call common or unclean what I want to cleanse. And I think that's something that we need to hear in the church. Listen, that doesn't apply just to people who are foreigners from other countries, but I would say that applies in a number of other areas too. Those that are confused about their gender. Those people need Jesus. They are lost, man. They don't know what true love is, many of them. They're looking for it, but it's so warped in the concept that they have. It is so misguided, and they don't understand what God's plan for them is. And they need to know that. They need to know the love of God. But sometimes when we see these people, our initial reaction is, circle the wagons, protect. Which I think there is something to protecting, and that is part of what God's put within us. We need to protect our families. At the same time, we need to be willing to point people to Jesus, to reach out with the heart for the gospel. That's what the early church was doing. Peter had to come to the realization to get beyond his own personal discrimination and see people the way Jesus saw them. It took him 10 years to get to that point. How long has it taken us? I'll tell you what, God dealt with me this week and I repented. I said, God, change my heart toward people. And I just realized in that moment, Lord, there are areas in my life that I am not like Jesus. And this needs to change in me. This is something you need to do within my heart. I want it to be different. I want to see them like Jesus sees them. You know people. You know people that are unsaved. How do you see them? Do you see them? Are you moved with compassion toward them? Do you think about inviting them to church? Do you think about sharing with them the love of Jesus? We need to. Guys, that's why we're here. And so Peter has this vision. He doesn't understand it. He's getting clarity on the subject, but finally he comes to this place where he begins to realize what it is that God had called him to do. And look at what it says in verse 30. As Cornelius begins to talk about the vision that he had, he said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. And when he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Peter asked Cornelius, why did you send for me? Why am I here? He still doesn't understand. And Cornelius says, the angel told me to send for you so that you could tell me what I needed to know. So let me know what I need to know. And suddenly a light bulb goes on in Peter's mind. Look at what it says. Then Peter opened his mouth and he said, in truth, I get it. That's another word for I perceive. I perceive, God shows no partiality, that in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Peter goes from perplexity to pondering, now to perception. I get it. The vision is not about me not eating unclean animals. The vision is more than me looking at Gentiles as unclean. The vision ultimately is about taking the gospel to the Gentiles and being one body under one banner in Christ. That's what this is about. Suddenly he perceives it. How did he perceive it? As he got from one point to the next point to the next point, he finally comes to the realization, oh, that's why I'm here. Oh, that's why you put me here. I get it now. I wonder if you get it. I wonder if we perceive it. God, why did you put my office right next to this lady? You know, she drives me crazy. Maybe because he wants you to perceive that they need Christ. Why do I have these neighbors? I wish they would cut their trees. They don't, it's leaning on my house. I told them they won't do it. It's ridiculous. Why, Lord? Perhaps so that you could tell them about the tree of Calvary. I mean, that's why God put you there. We need to have a fresh perspective on why we are here. We're not here just so we can isolate. We're here to infiltrate. We're here to make a difference. We're here to preach the gospel. We need to see people the way Jesus sees them. So Peter finally comes to this realization, and we move forthly from, we saw Peter's confusion, we saw Peter's clarification, we saw his confirmation. Now we see Peter's communication of the gospel message. And this is so important. There's things I want to highlight in Peter's presentation that I think we ought to emulate when we present the gospel. First of all, in verses 34 and 35, make note of this. Peter knew his audience. He perceived that God showed no partiality in every nation. Whoever fears him, works righteousness, is accepted by him. Peter knows who he's talking to. He's talking to unconverted Gentiles. That's important. Here's people that do not know, do not understand the gospel. And so Peter is coming from the vantage point of speaking to someone who has no understanding of what he's about to say. So there's a certain way that you present the gospel if you're speaking to someone in that context. You need to know your audience. For example, let me give you a couple of examples in this way. If I'm speaking to children, there's a certain way that I will communicate to children. Same truth, but a different presentation. I may get down on the floor and get right where they... I mean, just a different way that you communicate to kids that makes them engage, they understand. If you move from children to junior hires, total different way of communicating. There's certain things that junior hires think are happening that most people don't. I love junior hires. And so you begin to speak to them on their level, where they're at, and speak to them the same truth, but you're looking for something that connects with them, that you can bring the gospel across. You move from junior high to high school. We're talking, again, they're a little bit cooler now. It's like a whole step up. It's a different approach. And so you speak to them in a way that you want to communicate to them, that respects where they're coming from, that understands what they're dealing with, what they're wrestling with. You want to find some connection, and then you bring the gospel across. Talking to a college student, a completely different environment that they're inundated with on a regular basis, being bombarded from every kind of worldview and all different truth claims and all these things, and you want to reason from that perspective, or wherever they're at, you speak to them, and on it goes. You want to know who your audience is when you speak to them. If I'm speaking to a backslidden person, I understand they have some understanding of the gospel and that they've walked away from it, so I'm going to come from that vantage point. You just need to know your audience, who you're speaking to, and when you can find that key that unlocks the door, that opens the gospel to them, man, take advantage of that. Peter knew his audience, and we need to also. But secondly, I find not only did Peter know his audience, but notice the emphasis of his message. He begins by emphasizing the deity of Jesus in verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. That speaks of his deity. That's the first place to start. Jesus Christ is God. You have to be clear on that point. And so Peter shares that with these Gentile, unconverted Romans. They had many gods that they worshiped. They were polytheistic in the worst kind of way. And so Peter makes it clear, there's one God. He's Lord over all. It's Jesus. Not only does he speak of the deity of Jesus, he then moves to the ministry of Jesus in verse 37 and 38. The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He moves from the deity of Jesus now to the ministry of Jesus. Where did it begin? It began right there at the Jordan when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. When he came up out of the water, the Bible says the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove. He was then gone out into the wilderness, tempted by Satan, came back in the power of the Spirit, and his ministry began. And he began to minister to those who were oppressed by the devil, delivering people, preaching the kingdom of God. So he emphasizes the ministry of Jesus. He moves from the deity, the ministry, to now the crucifixion of Jesus. As you look at verse 39, the death of Jesus, he says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Here it is, whom they killed by hanging on a tree, the crucifixion of Jesus. He talks about Jesus's death on the cross. That is important, guys. The crucifixion, the message of the cross. What does it mean? What does the crucifixion mean? What does it represent? What did Jesus accomplish? What did he do? The Bible tells us in 1 John that Jesus became the propitiation for our sins. And what that means is that when Jesus went to the cross and died, it was a substitutionary death. He died in your place, in my place. And all of the wrath and all of the judgment that should have been poured out on you and on me was poured out on him. He took upon himself the wrath of God, took our place on the cross, paid the penalty that we could never pay, the crucifixion of Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Peter continues with his presentation, and he moves from the death of Christ now to the resurrection of Christ. in verse 40. Him, God raised up on the third day, showed him openly, not to all people, but to us witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Twice, he refers now to the resurrection of Jesus. Not only did he die, but he rose again. We saw him physically, ate and drank with him after he rose again from the dead. The gospel message hangs on the resurrection. If you have no resurrection, you have no gospel. If you have no resurrection, you don't need your Bible. The resurrection is key to everything. It sets Jesus apart. We could go home right now if Jesus had not risen from the dead. But the fact that he is alive sets him apart from every other person, from every other false ideology and false religious system out there, because Jesus is alive. You speak of the crucifixion of Christ, but you must also speak of the resurrection of Christ. And then he moves from the resurrection to the commission of Christ that was given to them. Look at verse 42. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Peter says we were given a commission from Jesus. Before Jesus ascended, you remember, back to the Father there, leaving the Mount of Olives, he said to all of his disciples there, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature under heaven, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were to go. That was the commission. Peter says that was entrusted to us, the commission of Christ. And then finally, he speaks of the salvation of Christ that was offered. It says in verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Here it is, the death, resurrection, promise, salvation. What is the work that you are to do? Believe. If you believe in Jesus, what he has done, you will receive the remission of sins. You will be born again. Salvation has been provided. Now, in verse 44, after Peter communicates the message of the gospel, very simple, just a few verses, really. Notice what happened next. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. This verse is a favorite for me, personally, as a pastor who shares the word on a regular basis. This is what I personally pray for. And if you want to pray for me, pray that this would happen when I share God's word. Just opening it, just reading it, that while I'm speaking, while we're reading verses, that the Holy Spirit will fall upon you in such a way that it will convict you, it'll open your eyes, it'll help you to understand God's will. That's what we're praying for. And the great news is the Holy Spirit still does that, still does that. Just a simple presentation of the gospel, people can be saved. It's a work of the Spirit of God through the power of the Word of God. That is why, again, if you haven't been here for any length of time, let me just express it to you if you're new. That's why we spend so much time in the Bible. Because there's power in the Word of God. And the Spirit of God works when the Word of God is presented. If there's no Word of God being presented, then what is the Spirit of God going to do? You got to generate something. You got to make something happen. But the Word of God accomplishes it all by itself with the Spirit of God at work. And so it says, the Spirit of God fell upon them. And look at the result. Those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. That is, those Jews that came with Peter and as many as came with him, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter then answered, can anyone forbid that these should not be baptized who received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay a few days. Following the presentation of the gospel, the Spirit of God falls upon them, and all of these Gentiles who heard were baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. And for them, here in the book of Acts, the manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit at this point was the gift of tongues. And they began to magnify the Lord, praise him. And Peter and those that traveled with him marveled because the Spirit had been given to the Gentiles just like it had been given to them. Now, I want to point something out to you. There are those that would say that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit ceased after the day of Pentecost. No longer taking place. Well, check this in your Bible. This is 10 years after Pentecost, and the Spirit of God was still being poured out. And I make that note to you because I believe the Spirit of God is still being poured out at the present time, and that those giftings of the Spirit are still for today, and you are hard-pressed to find any passage of Scripture that denies that. You got to make it say something that the Bible does not say to dismiss it. It's a sad thing when people seek to do that. But here you have the Spirit of God being poured out. 10 years later, after the day of Pentecost, they're then baptized And Peter ends up staying with these Gentiles for a number of days. A couple things I want to mention to you as we conclude this morning. Some applications, some insight. Number one, God desires people to be saved. You got to know that. That's the heart of God. He longs for people to be saved. The Bible says that God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. He wants people to be saved. That's why he sent Jesus. The church needs to understand that. Secondly, there are things like prejudice that can stand in the way of getting the gospel to people who need to be saved. People need to be saved. God wants them to be saved, and we don't want to let anything stand in the way of us being instruments to be used to bring people the gospel. Oh, I could never talk to them. Oh, I don't, they're, you know, that's who they are. And I saw those people on the media, and I can't really, well what if that's not who they are? What if there's somebody who's really hurting and wants to find a way out and doesn't know how to get out, and no one's ever loved them, or no one's ever told them, they never had the opportunity to even hear that? Are you open to it? Thirdly, the Lord has ways of getting the gospel to those who want to be saved. Fourthly, the Lord prepares us to preach the gospel, and he prepares the hearts to receive the gospel. And there is power, fifthly, in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to save men's souls.
You've been listening to A Daily Walk with our pastor and teacher, John Randall. It's a ministry of Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano. We're going through Acts at the present time, and you can order a CD copy of today's message for a cost of just $5 at adailywalk.org or by calling 888-253-1280 or listen online at adailywalk.org. You can find Pastor John on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, you can follow him at PJRandall7 and on Instagram at Pastor John Randall. What a privilege it is to be able to talk to God anytime and anywhere. But what should you pray about? Now, that's a struggle for many of us, isn't it? Today, we'd like to share a book that can help, authored by Pastor Chuck Smith. It's called Effective Prayer Life. Take your prayer life to a whole new level as you read this short but powerful book. We'll send you a copy for a cost of $5. Request this online at adailywalk.org or call 888-253-1280. As we continue to get the word out on stations like this all across the nation, we would appreciate your support. We're hearing from people quite frequently that are being helped in their daily walk through the teaching of the Word, and your gift serves to make this possible. You can donate online at adailywalk.org or call us at 888-253-1280. We also love receiving listener letters and emails. So let us know what God is up to in your daily walk. It would make our day. Write to us today by email at adailywalk@gmail.com or by mail to A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675. Here with some concluding thoughts is Pastor John.
I pray today for us as a congregation, as a church, that the Lord would broaden our vision, that he would make our vision clear, that we would know why it is that we're here. Like Peter, come to the realization, you know, Lord, I have overlooked this part of my life. I have been hesitant or resistant or not open to speaking to somebody like that. But I see today that you died for those people the same way that you died for me. And Lord, you love them as much as you love me. And I deserve judgment. And if it wasn't for your grace, I wouldn't be saved. Lord, they need to know your grace also. Are we open to that? Because listen, when you look around the world at the present time, if you're a discerning person filled with the Spirit of God, you know that things are chaotic all over the world. You know, one thing that dawned on me this last week as I was sitting with my family, spending time with them, I thought to myself, there are Christian families just like mine today. All they want to do is worship the Lord, read their Bible, serve Jesus with their life. And you know what they're doing today? They're running for their lives. They don't know where to go. They don't know where they're going to get food. They don't know what's going to happen to them. I thought, here am I in this place with my family. We just need to have our eyes opened up a little bit. Probably a whole lot, to see things the way that Jesus sees them. And I believe with all of these things going on in the world at the present time, there are people that are looking for answers. What's happening? Why is this taking place? What's going on? Is this a sign of the times? Is that why these viruses are breaking out? Is that why Russia's doing this? Is that why Iran's quietly doing this? Is that why this is happening in the Middle East? Is that why Israel and all of the, yes, that's why. That's why. And you have the answer. So may God awaken not only the world to the reality of what's going on, but awaken the church to the reason why we're here. Is to tell people who Jesus is.
We'll get right back into Acts next time on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. We'll see you then.
Well, I will walk by faith. Well, even when I cannot see, well, because